The morning after the first night at camp, the troop heated rations on the campfire, ate a hearty breakfast, and found suitable locations uphill in the underbrush for private morning rituals. The fuel tank on the dredge was filled. It was agreed that Rich and Carl would continue the dredging and panning operations while Devin scouted potential dredging sites upriver. The water seemed colder in the morning. The air temperature was around 80 degrees, which felt quite cool, and again there was no breeze, bugs, or birds. There were no ants crawling anywhere around the camp. Devin wondered if the animals, birds, and insects knew something he and his partners did not. Devin put on a pair of swim fins in addition to the wetsuit, dive mask, and snorkel, then headed upstream. He snorkeled through several long pools that looked similar to the one adjacent to the crescent pool that Rich and Carl were dredging in. The whole time Devin swam upstream, he scanned the bottom, looking for material gathering that might contain gold deposits. Every 40 to 60 feet, Devin came to another small waterfall. Some were a foot high, and he could belly over them like a seal. Some were 3 or 4 feet high. As he climbed over the falls, Devin surveyed the rocks around the river for foot passage. Each pool he traversed had its own character. Some were wider, and the water ran slower. These seemed to have more of the beautiful shimmering trout. Some schools of trout contained more than a dozen fish. Some pools had only very small trout, up to the size of a finger. The smaller trout were much greater in number, 30 or 40, and stayed closer to each other than the larger fish. Some pools had just 3 or 4 trout. All the pools had a heavy layer of material at the bottom. Devin saw many of the stick bugs. His eyes were constantly on the lookout for snakes. He didn't want to be surprised by another angry snake. The shape of the rocks Devin saw while snorkeling were all very smooth and rounded. The colors ranged from the brightest white to the darkest grays. Some of the countless pebbles and rocks had a butterscotch color with speckles of white and black. The bottom contained large volumes of sand that ranged from gray to tan in color. Startled trout would kick up swirling clouds of fine sand that dissipated in the current. Devin noticed bubbles coming towards him. He saw this each time he approached another waterfall. These bubbles were larger. The muffled crashing sound he heard underwater was a bit louder as he swam into the thickening cloud of white bubbles. He noticed 3 large trout that were swimming ahead, did not turn back and rush past him once they reached the falls. They seemed to disappear into the bubbles. Devin thought that this was probably a larger waterfall. He lifted his head out of the water as his view from under was entirely filled with the bubbles. That's odd. Devin spoke through a snorkel as he saw that the waterfall was not more than a foot high and less than 3 feet across. The depth of the pool was coming up from about 8 feet to less than 2 feet in front of the falls. Devin put his head underwater again and looked all around for the trout. Nothing appeared behind him, and in front was nothing but bubbles. He was about 8 feet from the falls. Suddenly he saw the tail of a trout flip through the bubbles. The trout did not come out of the bubbles. Devin decided to take a closer look. He kicked his fins and moved deeper into the bubbles. It was like driving in a torrent that your windshield wipers could not keep up with. The bubbles made it nearly impossible to see. The water was white with them. Devin felt the rocks along the bottom coming up to the waterfall. He then felt an odd sensation. The flow of water seemed to have reversed. Instead of the steady pull downstream, Devin began to feel the water pulling upstream. It was pulling much stronger. He stopped kicking his fins and reached down to grab the rocks beneath him. His hand slid along the slick rock face. His body accelerated toward the falls, only 2 feet away now. He drew his legs up and spread his arms to push off the rocks with all he had. He couldn't stop. His head sucked into the falls. He could see nothing but white. He thrust his arms out and grabbed the sides of the hole his head was in. The pressure and current was tremendous. The water was flowing into a subterranean aquifer. Devin pushed with all his might. His toes scratched the rocks for a foothold to pull against. He felt as though he were being flushed down a giant toilet. The opening was large enough to allow his entire body to pass through. He wondered where he would end up if he went through. His snorkel had been underwater for some time and he needed air. Being sucked underground was not an option. He had to escape the grips of the nightmare he was struggling with. He curled his body to get his bent knees between his arms and chest. His feet struggled for a good footing. Then he pushed with his arms and legs like a frog, with one last try before lack of oxygen weakened him to a point of surrender. It felt like he was lifting a truck. His face scrunched. He grunted and thrust and finally broke free, still using all of his might to escape the reverse flow. He kicked away and swam to the side, pulling himself out of the water to collapse on the hot rock in exhaustion. He breathed heavily as his mind raced, going over what had just happened. Devin knew that he was responsible for the lives of the people with him. He should not take unnecessary chances. How would they get out without him? He thought. They would not fare well if he could not lead them out. He nearly perished in a one-foot-high waterfall. The only chance of getting them out alive was for him to get out alive. Carl dropped the gold pan into the sand at the lower end of the camp. Little bits. All I see are little bits of gold. This isn't worth my time, Carl said as he walked across the sand. Carl pulled something out of one of the packs, then walked downriver. Rich backpedaled in the collapsing sand beneath him. The hole he had been dredging out was widening and pulling material from all around. He decided to stand up, stretch and see how they were doing. Rich pulled his dive mask off and looked at the dredge's sluice box. It looked as though it had not been emptied for some time. He looked over to the sand area to ask Carl how he was doing and did not see him. Rich pressed the kill switch on the dredge, then snapped the riffles from the sluice box to empty its contents. He waded over and grabbed the gold pan, then filled it with the contents of the sluice box and began to pan out the load while still standing in cold water. Devin stood up and walked around the waterfall, making mental notes on the surroundings to ensure that he would not be deceived by bubbles again. He slipped back into the water after walking past the next pool and waterfall. The scenery out of the water had changed from the smooth gray rippled rock marbled with white quartz to a smooth black surface that ran up the canyon walls 100 feet on both sides of the river. As Devin waded into the pool, he noticed that the bottom was smooth as well. No rocks or sand was anywhere to be seen. The river was only about 10 feet wide and the water moved very fast. The pool ranged in depth from 2 to 6 feet. Outside the water, the sides of the river in this place looked like charcoal. Underwater, the surface of the bottom was shiny black, like black lacquer, with small squares about 1/4 inch across, spaced about 3 inches apart as far as Devin could see. The squares were shimmering gold color against the deep black. The gold-colored squares were iron pyrite. This section of the river must have been solid iron, sculpted by glaciers and eons of water flow. Devin scratched at one of the gold-colored squares with a fingernail to see if the pyrite would flake off. It did. He wondered if anyone had ever seen this. He wondered if anyone had ever seen anything like this. He was in absolute awe. Devin swam back and forth through the black pool, studying the sparkling pyrite squares. It reminded him of the gold-speckled pool at Hearst Castle, except the Hearst pool was predominantly blue rather than black, and it was indoors. As soon as Devin began to see the bubbles that emanated from the water falling into the black pool from upstream, he climbed out of the water and walked around. He surveyed the surroundings for foot passage along the black pool. The black canyon walls were tapered more easily, providing plenty of paths to walk around the pool. The tree line was farther up the slope than it was near the gray rock. This allowed the black pool to be fully lit in the hot sunlight. Devin waddled along like a duck, leaving his swim fins on as he could feel the increased heat in the black bedrock. The next pool transitioned into an unusual gray folding rock with white streaks of quartz running in marbled patterns above and below water. There were several large boulders bunched up between the pools. The boulders seemed to hold the sand and smooth, rounded, speckled rocks behind them. This pool was much wider. It was almost 30 feet wide and at least 100 feet long. The pool was broken by large, smooth-faced rocks peering above its rushing water. Devin waded most of the way through this pool as the water pushed an irregular force around the protruding rocks. The upstream end of the pool had a waterfall that was nearly 20 feet wide and more than 6 feet high. The tremendous flow of the water produced a thunderous roar. Devin climbed out over the rocks and worked his way over the dry rocks that laid on the right side of the falls. To this point, Devin had traversed several pools with a waterfall on each end. They were like long steps moving up in elevation. Looking ahead, as he crested the dry bypass of the 6-foot-high waterfall, he saw a change in the river. He could see that this was not a long pool. It looked like a river. The water ran along an easy S-curve over about 200 feet. All the way, the water crashed over large rocks. The elevation increased along the entire route of the river ahead. There were no flat pools visible. At the far end, David could see a massive waterfall. It was at least 15 feet high and 20 feet across. The mist wafting around its base shimmered in the bright sunlight. Devin pulled his swim fins, dive mask, and snorkel off and grasped them in one hand. He eased himself along the rocks barefooted, stepping from one to the next and sometimes leaping across water. He made his way toward the large fall. The air was wet. Waves of oppressive heat pulsed as he passed in and out of shade from the overhanging trees. The thunderous crashing of the river began to give way to a deep roar ahead. Devin paused to see how far he had come along the hot rocks. He looked back, noticing his wet footprint on an otherwise dry rock. He wondered if it were the first human footprint that rock had ever supported. A piercing cry rang out just above the noise of the river. It was almost imperceptible, yet unique enough to catch Devin's attention. He looked again to the large falls ahead and caught sight of a black soaring shape high above the falls. It was an eagle or a hawk. It didn't matter. It was alive and not part of the river. Devin felt a sense of communion with the bird. It could come to the river and leave when it wanted. It was not stuck there. It was the first wildlife he had seen out of the river since he entered this world. Just seeing it quickened Devin's step. As Devin neared the large falls, he noticed a small pool to the right. The river curved around the pool. The water rushed along the riverbed in white undulations, but the pool held relatively still water. The pool was separated from the main part of the river by large rocks piled in a curved row just under the surface of the water. A sheer gray wall of rock, 20 feet high, circled two-thirds of the pool. That wall of rock extended under the falls, delineating the next step in elevation. Devin could see the hill rose at an easier grade above the falls. Perhaps there was a good campsite just above. Devin attempted to navigate along the rock wall, around the pool, to a point near the falls in an effort to climb to the next level. From a perch midway along the pool, about 10 feet off the water, he could see the entire length of the turbulent river from the last falls. On one end, a large sheet of cascading water plunged into boiling white water that rolled and pitched its way to another drop. Mist hung at both ends. Wet rock glistened in the sun. Marbled white streaks sparkled along the undulating gray folds of bare dry rock above the reach of the dancing waters. A thousand shades of green trees, shrubs, and grasses exploded like fireworks dangling over the bare rock. And above it all, the sky shone pastel blue, lit by the furnace fires of the sun. There could be no more beautiful place on earth. The quiet pool below Devin's feet was an almost perfect circle about 15 feet across. The smooth bedrock walls of the cliff that he stood on extended deep into the pool. The bottom looked to be rounded like the bottom of a bowl. The rock and sand material gathered at the bottom was mounded in the middle. The fact that the material was mounded meant that it did not wash out entirely, even in the most turbulent flows. Whatever was at the bottom must have been there from the beginning of time. It was a perfect deep hole to one side of the base of a powerful waterfall. Any gold that washed over the falls would tend to gather in the pool. It could be the mother lode. Devin slipped his swim fins on and stretched the band of his dive mask over his head. He kicked off the perch and sailed to the water, throwing him a great splash on impact. He cleared the mask and bent to dive to the bottom. He straightened out, head down, then kicked and kicked his swim fins to get to the bottom. The bedrock walls went almost straight down. He could see gold sparkles flickering in streaks of sunlight in the horizontal folds of the rock as he descended. He felt a sharp pain in both ears. The pain scoured deep into the recesses of his head. The bottom didn't seem to be any closer. How deep was the hole? Thought. He turned in anguish and started back for the surface. He had dove deeper than he thought, and he was not sure that he would get back to the top before he had to take a breath. As he ascended, the pain in his ears gave way to the pain in his chest. His vision began to narrow, his heart throbbed, and his chest convulsed. He broke the surface of the icy water, gasping for air and wincing in pain. Rich had been dredging again for about an hour. He did not feel comfortable being underwater alone. Carl should have been there panning and watching for any signs of trouble. If Rich had a problem or somehow got hurt, he was on his own. Carl was nowhere to be found. Rich was down to bedrock with a dredging. He began to clear material from a 2-inch-wide crack in the rock. He could see that the material in the crack was jammed in tight. He picked at the rocks with his fingers and swished the water around in the crack. As the cloud of wafting material cleared, he could see the unmistakable shine of gold. He waved the water a few inches above the crack to clear his view. It was several nuggets bunched together, maybe a couple of ounces. He looked around on the bottom for a stick to use to loosen the jammed nuggets. He saw no branches or sticks. He pressed the dredge's suction hose hard against the crack, then moved it back and forth. A dredge cleared the water but did not pull out the nuggets. He could see that almost 6 inches of the crack was jammed tight with nuggets the size of peanuts and peas. He surfaced to get a breath of air and dove back down immediately. He tried again to suck the gold out. It wasn't budging. Rich surfaced again to look around for Carl. He needed his help. Rich pulled his mask off and called out to Carl. Carl did not respond. Rich climbed out of the water and found a stick of suitable size, then re-entered the frigid water. He jammed the stick into the crack and pulled it back and forth. A nugget pulled free. He pushed the suction hose down into the crack. When he pulled the hose away, the crack was clean. He twisted and planted his feet on the bedrock, then thrust upward. His body shot out of the water to his waist. He swam over to the dredge to see the treasure fall into the sluice box. He waited a couple minutes, then pushed the kill switch to turn off the dredge. In rapid motion, he unsnapped the riffles, pulled the carpet from the sluice box, and dumped the load into the pan. Rich brushed the larger rocks out of the pan and swirled the water several times. Color shoaled in several places of the pan. He moved the material around with his fingers to reveal the nuggets. He no longer cared about Carl or where he was. All he cared about was getting the gold out of the pan. His heart pounded and his eyes were as wide as they could be after several hours at Starbucks. A second time, Devin climbed along the rock wall that circled the deep pool moving toward the waterfall. He wanted to find a way over the falls to look for a suitable campsite. Perhaps they could move camp to this location for their last night. It would give them more time to dredge the deep pool. He made several attempts to get to the top of the wall with no luck. The skill and climbing supplies needed to scale the wall was not in Devin's possession. Maybe Carl would find a way over, he thought. Carl was younger and taller. If he could get over, he could let ropes down for Devin and Rich to get over the wall. The sun set high in the sky. The heat was like a relentless attack on Devin's body. The water was ice cold and seemed a better place to be. Devin pushed off from the wall, landing feet first in the waterfall side of the deep pool. He swam to the far side to pick up his snorkel gear. He readied himself for the rapid trip back to camp, tightening the dive mask strap, biting the snorkel, and snapping on the swim fins. Pushing himself up into the deep swirling pool, he scanned the bottom one last time. This was it. They had to dredge this pool. Even though he had scouted several other spots downstream, none of them looked nearly as promising. The current picked up dramatically once Devin crossed over the underwater rocks that delineated the pool from the main river. He was swept into the torrent as soon as his upper body crossed into the white water. For the first few seconds, Devin was able to maintain a swimming direction along the top of the water. He felt a hard bump against his thigh. He contorted in recognition and began to roll. The swift current turned and twisted him. He bounced off another rock, then another. He could not tell if he was on the surface or deep within the white foaming water. He didn't know which way was up. He needed air. Devin began to thrash violently against the harsh push of the water. He rolled and tumbled. Light flashed to darkness in rapid succession as he careened through the white, churning water. Suddenly, his back slammed into a large rock, snapping his head back and out of the water for a fraction of a moment. Instinctively, the bad air in his lungs exploded as if from a cannon. Immediately to be replaced, his mouth opened wide. The water folded over him and pushed him on like a pinball bouncing off every obstacle along its way. He felt one of his fins pull off as his body twisted over a large rock. He splashed onto his back and suddenly the water slowed down. He unclenched his eyes and looked up to see the sky through clear shimmering water above him. He had been ejected over the falls into the next pool downstream. Devin rolled over and swam to the side. Propping himself on a rock, he thought to himself how stupid a move that was. He should have walked around. He saw his swim fin out in the middle of the slow flow of the pool and decided to go in after it. After he snapped it back on, he drew a deep breath and kicked on downstream. Devin swam along with the current through the remaining pools back to camp. He stepped over the small falls that dropped into the crescent pool the camp was adjacent to. Rich and Carl were standing on the sand, next to the water, facing each other. Their arms were gesturing in a manner that indicated a heated debate of some sort. Devin called out to them, but was not heard over the crashing water.